Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Ernie Yarbrough, filling in for the one and only Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studio. Local, state, national, all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Moving into our last hour, man, time flies when you're having fun. And that's what we do up in here, Big Rig. We have fun while we set the world straight. I mean, hey, it's worse things to do with your time. So, that being the case, we have now moving from a heavy topic, important topic, a fundamental topic of IVF and pro-life, going to hop into something a little bit more on the light side, but fun, enjoyable, and shift gears just a minute before we get into our third triple dipper, and that is we're going to talk sports with Hannah Stevens. Sports without politics. Can you believe sports, anything without politics on this channel? But here we are, Hannah Stevens. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing today?
We're doing fine as frog here. How you doing?
I'm all right. Can't complain too much. If only it was a little bit cooler, but you know, you can only ask for so much.
Yes. Well, I got a picture on my phone that it says what the breeze in Alabama feels like, and it's got a metal statue with a flame torch in the face. And a second picture that's got a picture of Kermit the Frog drinking a bottle of water, and it says, remember to drink lots of water and stay indoors between 11 a.m. and November the 1st.
I have one that says I walked outside this morning and saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right. Looking for the fourth person here. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yeah. I saw another one on Facebook. It said, all you people, I said 100 degrees was better than 32. Now's your time to shine. I expect to see you outside.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of hot topics, hot takes, and sports, you've got some takes for us to talk about some sports around the country. So fire away, girl.
All right. So I guess if we're going to start with a topic that, or I guess a sport that a lot of people are talking about, is obviously going to be Scottie Scheffler, a guy who has taken the... you know, taking the world by his collar, I guess. I mean, he's kind of been the talk of the year. I mean, let's just talk about some of the things he's done. I mean, he's gotten arrested, right?
Yes.
Not in a good way. You know, it wasn't his fault. It was a stupid situation to begin with. But obviously, he got arrested. And then I don't know if you saw this last golf tournament he just won. They had six, I believe. It was either six or eight protesters storm, you know, onto the green.
Yeah, I saw something about that. What was that? Win.
Yeah, it was a bunch of protests. They've been doing a lot of different sporting events. I mean, they actually had some protest, some event in Washington, D.C., I think last week, and they actually got, they're getting a charge on a federal level because it was a government event. But anyway, all that to say, I just want to say Scottie Scheffler is the reason he is such a hot topic is because he's such a good guy. Mm. He's a believer. He's a family guy, and he is on track to be the highest, one of the top, I believe, five highest paid athletes in the world this year. He is on target to make over $70 million a year alone in earnings. I mean, and people are like, oh, well, you know, it's only, you know, he's still young at this. Well, Tiger Woods, who people would say is like the Michael Jordan of golf, right? He, won six in one whole year. We're not even through 2024, and Scheffler's already matched what Tiger Woods did in his best year, and we're only, you know, not even 7 months into this year. So, I mean, he's got a lot going for him. He's an amazing guy, but, you know, for me, what's so impressive is that he recovers like he does, right? I mean, he gets arrested, he makes a statement, he stands by the truth comes to light. And then he goes on to not win, but do fairly well in that tournament, right? Obviously do a lot better than people expected. And then to bounce back and win this one, it's just an incredible feat. And, I mean, people are projecting him to win seven, eight, possibly nine tournament wins this year, which will be the best ever. So, anyway, Scottie Scheffler obviously wanted to start with him because it's positive. But, you know, in a world full of people,
he's a family guy. Married. I'm assuming he's married and got kids, all that stuff.
Yes, he actually had a baby this year. The one, he didn't, but his wife did. Let's
just to clarify for those who think that men can get pregnant too, he did not have a baby. His wife did, but that's fantastic. Well, and so has that fed into certain political groups like not liking him or protesting him or something?
Not that I understand. I mean, when the news broke about him getting arrested, people are like, you know. But I will say this: out of all the athletes, out of all the celebrities, even, I mean, obviously Justin Timberlake got arrested. believe it was last week as well for, DWI. But, you know, with Scheffler, I will say it was the first time I ever saw someone of status get arrested and people defend him. People are like, he's a good guy. It has to be a misunderstanding. Like, there has to be something. Like,
sure.
No one was like, oh, yeah. He, you know, people were questioning why he was arrested. So that says a lot about his character and integrity.
Sure.
When something happened like that, that people are like, this is not like him. I mean, people that, you know, even Ernie and our friend group were making posts like, listen, I'm not even a golf person. And, you know, that's what they were saying. I'm not even a golf person, but I'm telling you, he's a good guy. There has to be something that, you know, not the full story here. But anyway, obviously with him kind of transitioning to Caitlin Clark, because they're kind of both, I mean, Scheffler's definitely become, you know, Mr. Golf this year. He's definitely the face of golf.
Yeah.
You know, the number one golfer in the world. And Caitlin Clark is also the face of a sport, and that's the WNBA. And for her, it comes with more backlash than applause.
Yeah, because she's also pro. She's heterosexual. She's Roman Catholic. She professes to be a Christian. She looks feminine to me, but obviously the girl is bawling out.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I'll say this, Ernie, and you. Well, you don't know because you're not a girl, but I'll say this. As a female, it's easier for the most part to work with guys than girls, because girls have this amazing ability to be jealous of other females, right? Like, it's very hard for females, for whatever reason, to applaud other females when they're successful. Not all of them. Obviously, there are people like myself and your wife and other people we know who are good with, you know, supporting and want to see other people succeed. But in this sport, in this industry, Caitlin Clark has brought opportunity and views to the WNBA that was lacking before. And honestly, they needed someone. I mean, people would say that maybe Sue Bird was that person, but she wasn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sue Bird, you know, one of the most amazing athletes to ever play the sport. You know, I got to watch her in Seattle when she was playing with the Storm. My favorite athlete was Lisa Leslie. You know, she played for the L.A. Sparks.
Sure.
And, you know, she's a believer. She was in my FCA book, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, like Bible study I did. I got to meet her, and she actually signed that devotional. But anyway, to say about Caitlin Clark is she has done what I think you could even say Kobe Bryant, maybe even LeBron James, maybe Michael Jordan did for the NBA. They needed a player. And if you've never seen the movie about the Nike shoes and about the Air Jordans, I encourage people to watch it because it shows how one person can change the game, literally.
Sure. Oh, yeah, 100%.
And for Caitlin Clark, I mean, the fact that she alone helped bring in over 17,000 people, they had to move the game. Because normally the game in a FIBA play, it's like, you know, 3,900 fans. They had to move it to arena. It sold over 17,000 tickets. It was a sold-out game. You know, the Hawks can't even do that, right? And so to watch Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Stephen A. Smith was talking about how now they're benefiting, they're getting chartered flights and stuff because of it. So I think he called her the golden goose or whatever. So, I mean, like it, lump it, or leave it.
Yep.
She's a rising tide is raising all ships.
Yeah. And for me, she's the perfect person to do it because she came from such humble beginnings. And she played for a team like Iowa, right? She didn't play for the typical, she didn't play for the typical Stanford or UConn. I mean, if you're a women's basketball fan like myself, you know that, you know, basically UConn and Stanford are for years, probably the last decade, those two teams kind of been the ones going back and forth in that championship. I mean, UConn, you know, that's kind of all they got is basketball. But anyway,
I mean, they're doing good at it. I give them props, boys and girls. They're not doing bad.
They're not doing bad at all. But, you know, Caitlin Clark, I'm excited for her. It's just a shame because it feels like, you know, and I'll say this, I'll give her some cred. She handles this a lot better than I would because even in the midst of being accused of all these horrific things of her being racist, her being homophobic, whatever they want to accuse her with, she has done such a great job of responding with class and integrity, and I applaud her for that.
Sure.
Because, you know, you get put in these situations where, I mean, I have no doubt that it's frustrating for her. She's, you know, I mean, I can't imagine being in her shoes and helping bring all these opportunities to other ladies, and instead of them being appreciative, they're like, we hate you. And you see that with how they foul her in games. You
100%.
See that by how they talk about her.
They beat us. Not well, you know, you see this, like I shared with you a WNG, you know, World Net, a World News article, the World News Group, where it talks about the fact that former WNBA player, you know, Candace Wiggins came out. She's 8 years in the WNBA, and she said that, she said, me being heterosexual and straight and being vocal in my identity as a straight woman, as a Christian, was huge. And she said 98% of the women in the NBA, in her opinion, are gay women, and it was a conformist type of place. And so they were deliberately trying to hurt me all the time, she said. I had never been called the B word so many times in my life as I was in my rookie season. I was being thrown to the ground. The message was clear. We don't like you, right? And so, I mean, now granted, perhaps some level of hazing to rookies is normal, but, you know, Clark's not to this extent. Clark's taking the high road. And so there's no question that, you know, even, I don't know if it's Audra or Aja Wilson, you know, the five-time NBA All-Star, you know, she was openly complaining about companies cashing in on the WNBA's newfound popularity, you know. But the reality is that, and she said, well, it's because Clark is white. Well, maybe it's not because she's white. Maybe it's because she loves the game and she's good at it and she's good for the game.
Exactly.
Right? And that's
I mean, it's insane. Now, I'm with you 100%. It's kind of like if people complain that Steph Curry brings in all this money. I mean, but that's the difference between males and females, Ernie. Females will always find a way to be jealous of success on fellow females, whereas males are like, yeah, bro, great job. You know, because in my opinion, I'm like, look at it. It's getting you views. It's getting you the opportunity to be seen. It's going to get them to be paid more. I mean, she's getting paid more per month with one deal, like signing deal she has, than she does the entire year contract with the WNBA. But I know we're going to have to wrap up in a minute, but
we got to take a break right now. Let's come back and just keep you back on for just the first part of the next section, and then we'll let you go and move into
the next thing.
Take a quick break, and we'll be back. Sports with Hannah Stevens, The Right Side Way. Spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, with parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in for good measure. We are back at The Right Side Radio. Ernie Yarbrough here filling in for Phil Williams as we move into the second half of our last hour. Time goes by when you're having fun. We got Hannah Stevens back with us just for a few more minutes here, wrapping up sports. So, Hannah, we talked a little bit there about Scottie Scheffler and Caitlin Clark, and wanted to maybe move into one or two more quick topics. So go ahead.
Sure. Let's start with what's going on in New York. I don't know if a lot of your listeners are aware, but yesterday you had, actually it's Long Island, it's a county in New York that has prevented, actually it's not, I wouldn't say it was a full ban, but they've done a good job of not letting women's sports play at any of their county facilities unless they exclude any transgender athletes. So they said they're going to protect it, and they said, listen, we don't care, we're not banning transgender athletes from playing, but they have to participate either male leagues or co-ed. And he said they can even start their own league, but they're not welcome to play here. So I've been reading a lot of articles on that, and honestly, it's very interesting how much of a positive reaction this has gotten in other parts of New York. And so they're hoping this will kind of be a copy and paste throughout some other counties in New York, where state of New York, not New York City, where they will continue to protect the, you know, women and women's sports and the purity of the sport. Because, you know, I mean, I told Phil this a couple weeks ago, Ernie. I just can't believe this actually topic of conversation. I mean, just imagine, and I'll give this example again since we talk basketball. Just imagine if Steph Curry woke up one day. He's like, you know what? I'm Stephanie today, and I think I'm going to go play in the WNBA.
Or LeBron's
you
like,
know good
LeBron's
well.
LeBron's like, hey, I'm changing my name to LeBrona.
Yes, LeBrona.
LeBrona Netta James or whatever. I'm going to go play it. I'm going to average.
Exactly.
I'm going to drop 80 in the first half.
Exactly. We would have an uproar. And, you know, for me, it's just the fact that we're having to do this. And I say this every time I'm on Phil's show. It breaks my heart for Riley Gaines because I'm so thankful for what she's done. But it breaks my heart that she had to do what she had to do. That there were no men or women on any level above her that said, you know what? And honestly, shame on them. Shame on the NCAA,
absolutely,
even Kentucky for not. I mean, Kentucky. I mean, they could have easily stood up and said, you know what? we're going to refuse to participate with this nonsense. Yep. We're just
shame
gonna
on
pull
her, on, and, shame you know on her coach, shame on men, shame on all
exactly.
that for giving in to, and now that she's, you know, now that I think I saw there's a bunch of lawsuits where they're fighting to get their medals and trophies yep. back, and good on them, they should.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they should never have been given rid of to begin with. I mean, and what other, I mean, and the insanity is this, Ernie, that she has said that, you know, when they got to participate, you know, at the end, she's like, well, for a photo op, we're going to give it to Leah.
No.
I'm like, are we really that politically woke that we're more concerned about how the people, the behaviors of these individuals, these men acting as women, wanting to be women, we're more concerned about how they feel than the feelings of actual women who have worked their entire life to be on this platform. I mean, when you are a Division I athlete, like I was myself, you understand how much work goes into the opportunity to even get to compete for a national championship, much less win one.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking literally at a one in a million opportunity for some of these ladies to compete, especially in a sport like swimming, where there's so many swimmers on each team and there's a lot of teams. You know, it's not like it's rowing and not like I did. Not every team has a rowing team,
yeah.
but almost every university is going to have a swimming team.
Yeah.
And so anyway, and then the last thing I was going to say is the drama that you're seeing now in the SEC with Jim Schlossnagle, who, you know, head coach at Texas A&M, and somehow miraculously he and all of his coaches are now at Texas. So I'm just going to say the reason I'm bringing this up is not to get into a conversation now. It's just to pitch it to say in a week or two, I mean, from what I'm hearing through some of my sports friends, that this is actually a really big deal, and it may actually be an NCAA investigation that some of the players that have committed to Texas over the last 2 months were contacted by Jim while he was still at Texas A&M. So all that to say, it's interesting, and the conversation for another day when I can come on again is to talk about how can coaches honor their word and be honorable to the universities while also looking for more opportunities. I mean, you know, obviously you have to look out for yourself and get a new job and you want to move up the ladder, but how do you do so while not burning bridges along the way?
Sure. No, absolutely. Well, all that is in the context of several of the things you've shared is in the bigger worldview discussion and debate that we opened up with our opening monologue, My Hat, you know, Imago Dei, Image of God, that there's this wrestling going on right now with Image of God. Right, we're made in the image of God,
yep.
male and female roles. God defines those things. We can't make war in reality, but we can live in reality and we can thrive as men and women to the glory of God, to the good of our fellow man, when we live life and we accept the definitions and live in the reality of the real world. We're setting ourselves and our children up for generational success and blessing. So, Hannah Stevens, thank you for being on, sharing. We're going to go to break and we come back. We're going to talk about Big, Fast, and Famous, and how we should build for the future. That's the Right Side Way.